think that's it, right. Judges 7, reading from 8 to 15. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley, and during that night the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you're afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts, and their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp, and it struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." And his friend responded, "Ha! This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." So we're deviating a little bit, because this passage in Scripture about the Midianites' dream, I think, has a lot to teach us about how God speaks to us. God speaks in dreams, the Bible tells us, but it's not, of course, exclusively through that medium. He speaks in a myriad and diverse range of different ways, through Scripture, through the counsel of a friend, through a wonderful hot summer's day when you're walking out somewhere and suddenly you just hear something from God. And sometimes it's even the audible voice of God speaking to you in a situation. Or it's, of course, through Scripture itself that something just leaps out to you from what you're reading or from what somebody is speaking out. Or so today, though, I'm talking specifically about God speaking in dreams. And this is what he says to us in Job. If you remember Job's story, he was a follower of the Lord. He lived a righteous life, and then things didn't go so well for him, and he lost all his wealth and family, although eventually it's all restored to him, and he goes through a process of finding out how God speaks to him, finding out more about who God is through his difficult circumstances. And this is what he says of God: "For God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in their beds." God speaks to us through dreams. And also importantly, I want you to see the other word there, visions, because they're not quite the same thing. Dreams and visions are slightly different. We'll explain more about that in a minute. And I want to ask some questions, maybe some of the young folks to be able to answer, or maybe even some of the slightly older ones. Can you name somebody in the Bible who was famous for getting dreams from God?
Jacob.
Yeah, he had a dream from God. Can you remember Jacob's dream? I'm doing an impersonation. Jacob's dream? He saw a ladder, didn't he, with angels going up and down. What's that? Going up to heaven. Yeah, the ladder was up and down to heaven with the angels going up and down. Anybody else? Yeah. He had a dream as well. Who else? Any ideas? Any thoughts?
Two Josephs.
Oh, yes. Okay, who's Joseph number one?
Old Testament Joseph.
Good guess. Okay, he ended up in Egypt, didn't he? He's ruling over stuff in Egypt. He had dreams about all the sheaves of corn bowing down to him. and all his family having to bow down to him, which turned out to be true, but it's the kind of dream you don't really want to relate to somebody if they're not getting on with you very well. So the other Joseph was the New Testament one, wasn't he? Jesus' father, his earthly father. Yeah, he had dreams. The angel spoke to him in a dream and took Joseph and the family all over the place to avoid connecting with Herod and his evil schemes. So, lots of dreams. And there are about 133 references to dreams in the Bible, or people receiving dreams from God. It's a big deal, actually. I didn't realise it was quite as big a deal as it was until I started reading up about it. And there's also this thing called visions, which there are over 100 references to in the Bible as well. And this is all brought together in the New Testament, where the author of the book of Acts, who is Luke, says this: in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So this is something for us as the people of God in the New Testament era, the New Covenant era, that God pours out his spirit, and through the Spirit's work, we actually hear God's encouragement. The whole point of dreams and God speaking prophetically through dreams and visions is to give encouragement. It's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that prophecy is about building up, it's edifying and bringing comfort and consolation. So it's encouragement which comes to us, but also direction as well, that God directs things through dreams and visions. And this is one of my go-to passages, and I'll explain why in a second. Acts 16, chapter 9. A vision appears to Paul to direct his ministry. The vision appeared to Paul the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And this is significant for me before I came here to Kirkcaldy Clontarty, that I was ministering, as all of you know, in Gore Bridge. And the congregation there, the elders there, didn't want me to leave at all. And they raised £75,000 in order to keep me as an associate minister and give me some kind of salary for 3 or so years. And yet the presbytery there said no to that plan. And there was a great wrench for me when I separated from that church. From the eldership, I had to step down from the leadership, and I had to seek my own charge because there was no longer a place for me there, and God called me out and to somewhere else. And I remember looking for where God was going to send me next, and Alistair Morrison, who was on the nominating committee here for the two churches, phoned me up after I'd been interviewed and said to me, I feel like the man from Macedonia urging you to come over and help us. And I felt the Lord say, you have to go and help these two congregations. That's what I want you to do next. And so we obeyed the call, and we've been here 3.5 years. We obeyed that command. But in that, there's also something I want you to take on board about the difference between dreams and visions. Dreams are often allegorical. You remember Joseph's dreams, rather than Pharaoh's dreams. Remember Pharaoh's dreams? He dreamt of thin cows and fat cows and all of that kind of thing. But dreams are often very symbolic, and it takes interpretation to work out what's being said, whereas visions are more direct, they're less allegorical. And here we have Paul, a man says, right, come over here and help us. It's kind of, there's no interpretation needed for that vision because it's very clear. So the scripture includes both of these different aspects of hearing God. Sometimes it's directional, sometimes it isn't. But it's always for our encouragement, it's always for what God wants to do next. And so here I go back to Pool and Gideon's story. Here he says, Gideon goes down to the camp. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon,
get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you're afraid to attack, isn't the Lord so wonderfully gracious? Because we've heard about Gideon's struggles with fear and anxiety and all the rest of it. And here the Lord is saying, I know you're still suffering from all of this, but my grace is that I'm going to give you this opportunity to be encouraged again. If you're afraid, go down to the camp where your servant, with your servant, listen to what's being said there. Afterwards, you will be encouraged to attack the camp. And so this is what happened. Elijah, just as a man was telling a friend his dream, God's timing is always right. When he brings this kind of direction through the many ways in which he communicates with us, but here specifically in the dream, it's just the right moment. Gideon is just at the right moment to hear from God what's going to happen next. The friend is saying, I had a dream. And it's interesting actually that in Scripture, when the word dream is mentioned, it's never about the other kind of dream which we use more commonly these days, which is, I have this dream to be a pop idol, or I have this dream to start a farm in Kilcarnoty, or I have this dream, and that's always been my dream. Well, the Scripture, interestingly, never talks about those kind of dreams, there's probably a whole teaching in all of that, but the references to dreams in Scripture are always about when you're asleep and God speaks to you, and you're dreaming. So the man has a dream. He says a round loaf of barley came tumbling into the camp. That's a close approximation of a round loaf of barley. Strucks the tent, knocks it down. So how on earth? The other guy says, aha, do you know what? This could be nothing other than the sword of Gideon. Would you get to that conclusion from hearing about that story? So this is what I'm going on about, the dreams being allegorical, pictorial. But there's something, an element that needs to be in there, and that's God's interpretation. So, of course, the dream is right. The interpretation is right, rather. God delivers the Midianites into the Israelites' hands. And Joseph said to them, interpretations come from God, don't they? So the Joseph story is Pharaoh comes to Joseph with his dreams. And all the magicians and the soothsayers of Pharaoh's court can't interpret the dream. And Joseph says to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. So there's a trust involved here that God is the one who gives the meaning behind the dream. And so Gideon hears the translation, the interpretation, and he bows down in worship. That's the response that when we hear God's word, is to worship him. It's to bow down and say, thank you, God, that you've spoken. Gideon didn't fight that word. He didn't step back again in fear. But he went forward with courage because he'd heard the word. So I just want to pray with us now, but also to encourage all of us to pay attention to your dreams. Some of them are pizza dreams, okay? When you've gone to bed with too much cheese and you get all kinds of weird things happening. But actually, God does speak in dreams, even today. And so pray for that. Pray for his direction for your lives. And be open to what he might say through a dream or through a vision. And then, like Gideon, when you hear from him, ask for that gift of interpreting what's been said, but bow down and worship him, because he's the one that holds us all in his hands, and he's the one that's faithful. So if we follow his word, then things will go well. That's his promise to us. So let's pray together. Lord, I have been surprised at how much emphasis you place on dreams and visions in Scripture, and how you communicate to your people through that medium. Lord, I thank you that that is through the Holy Spirit, and we all have the Holy Spirit poured out upon us, so that these gifts of hearing your voice and understanding what you're saying to us through dreams and visions are available. And I pray for each one of us, Lord, that you would enable us to be open to hearing you through a wide variety of different avenues, but specifically through this medium of dreams and visions. Lord, that you would speak about the future for each one of us, maybe even for us as a church going forward, whatever it is, Lord, that you would help us to have faith as well and to trust in you, that even though you are God of the mind and of the understanding, you're also a God who's beyond understanding. You're a God who, as Job said, speaks in a whisper in the night to us. So I thank you, Lord, that you do that, because it reminds us that you are other. As well as our close and wonderful Saviour, you are still a transcendent God, a sovereign God who acts and does what he pleases, as it says in the Psalms. You do what you please, that you give dreams where you want to give dreams, that you give visions where you want to give visions. And we, your people, the response in our hearts is to bow down and worship you. So help us to do that, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.